Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Book of Revelation. I believe this book and understanding it is very important to an encouragement to the help that Christians are offered in the first century and to the great help that is offered for us today. I'm excited about this lesson, for I think that in understanding these key ideas, these key elements, you'll have a clearer picture of the book of Revelation. And in looking at this, I want to identify seven keys which I think will help us to unlock, to open up, to clarify the message. What are these keys? The first key is this. The book of Revelation is a symbolic book. Sometimes we read Matthew through Jude and we look at it so literally and rightly so that we get to the book of Revelation and it gets us all in hermeneutical seizures. We don't know what to do with language like this. How do we deal with dragons and beasts and a harlot riding on the back of another beast with a cup full of blood? How do we deal with all that? Friend, the book of Revelation is not meant to be picked apart literally. It tells us it is a book of signs and symbols. Look for yourself in Revelation chapter 1, and I want you to notice what the Word of God says in verse 1. The Scripture says, "This is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave Him to show His servants, things which must shortly take place." And look at this. "And He sent and signified it by His angel to His servant John." That word signified, which is going to be used throughout the book several other times, is a word that means to show in signs and symbols. God will often say to John, "John, what you see, write in a book." And John would see a vision, an image, sometimes a very powerful or very violent image. And that image would be written down, the details of it. The book of Revelation is not meant to be picked apart detail by detail in every way. It is a highly symbolic book. Just think about some of the images in the book of Revelation. Think about some of the symbols. For example, in the book of Revelation, you have images of a dragon, of a sea beast, the beast, a dragon with seven heads and 10 horns on each head, or a sea beast coming up out of the sea like a leopard, and he has 7 heads and 10 horns, or this great land beast, and he's causing people to be tempted into doing the will of God. But you see from this message, it is not, we're not meant to literally say, think this is a dragon, or there's actually a beast with 7 heads. That's not God's purpose. Think about the image in the book of Revelation of the harlot riding on the back of the beast, and in her hand is a cup full of Christian's blood. Now, do you really think that literally happened? No, it's an image of an evil nation, evil people who are doing ungodly, dastardly deeds to Christians, causing them pain and hurt. Think about the image in the book of Revelation of the 4 riders on horses. All of these representing God's persecution, God bringing justice on His people and punishing the wicked. Or you might think about the image of Jesus described in Revelation 1 and Revelation 17. These are symbols. Jesus does not literally have a sword coming out of His mouth, but He does speak, and His word is like a sword that pierces to the heart. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. In understanding this message, we need to understand that this is an apocalyptic book. In fact, the title for Revelation in the Greek Bible uses the word apokalypsis, which means to unveil, to open up, to unlock. The Bible says, of course, in Deuteronomy 29:29, that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things which He has revealed belong to us and to our children. The book of Revelation is a revealing of the will of God. Are there some symbols that are maybe difficult to grasp? Maybe. But for the most part, I think these symbols express one main idea. For example, take the dragon. When you think of the dragon representing Satan, would the Israelite following the old covenant, living by the old law, know what that means? Sure he would. They'd heard about Leviathan. They'd heard about Behemoth. In the book of Exodus and the book of Isaiah, world leaders such as Nebuchadnezzar are spoken of as a dragon. When they saw that dragon, they would have thought of a powerful, wicked world ruler or a powerful being automatically. They would have understood these things. This type of writing, someone says, well, why in the world would God write in such a veiled or cryptic language? This type of writing had a specific purpose. Imagine as God, you want to get a message to your people who are suffering, a message of comfort, a message of hope, a message encouraging them not to give up. How would you get that message to them without throwing further fuel on the fire of persecution? This message is written in signs and symbols to give God's people the hope and the comfort through these symbols that they needed without further bringing persecution on them from the enemies. Imagine if you are on the island guarding John in Patmos, and you're one of the soldiers, and you pick up the book of Revelation, and you try to read that with no background in the Old Testament, no background about God. What would you think? You think, here's an insane man on an island writing to people a message they'll never understand in the first place. But my friends, you look at it from a biblical standpoint, these Israelite people, they knew exactly what John was writing. They are well acquainted with this. And one of the reasons why, and I think this is key to understanding the book of Revelation, these symbols, much of these symbols, many of them are drawn right out of the Old Testament. And these Christians who came out of that, some of them would be well aware of those symbols, of those images. As we study through it, you're going to see us reference several times back to the Old Testament and the image there and the image God expects them to see, how they are identical in many ways. And so the first key is the book of Revelation is written in symbols. Many of these symbols represent numbers. We're not going to spend a great deal of time on this, but just to mention a few of those. In Scripture, the number 3 is directly connected with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. 3 represents God, or that which is divine. And number 4 often represents earth, or world life from our viewpoint. We have the 4 winds, north, east, west, south, the 4 elements of the earth. It represents earth. You then have the number 7, which is deemed to be the perfect number, the complete or perfect number. And as we understand that, the number 6, then, is a lot easier to understand. If 7 is perfect, the number 6 falls one short of that. Take 666, multiply the idea out, and you've got utter imperfection, utterly incomplete. Number 12 represented humanity, sometimes God's people, 12 apostles, 12 tribes, coming from that idea. And the number 1,000 often represented a definite or indefinite time period that God has set forth in Scripture. And so maybe we realize this is a book written in symbols. Now, I want you to notice this. Turn back to Revelation 1, verse 1. And friends, this is essential to understanding the book of Revelation. Revelation was written about things that would happen in a short period of time for the most part. Chapters 1, even through much of chapter 20, was going to happen, the Scripture says, in a short period of time. Revelation is not about things 2,000 years down the road. For example, look in Revelation 1 and verse 1. God said to the people, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, notice, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. All of us understand when we say, if someone asks you, when are you going to become our son? I'll be over shortly. Now friends, that doesn't mean I'm going to be over next week, or I'm going to be over 2 years from now. We understand that is a very brief period of time. These things that were written were going to occur during the lifetime of the people who received this letter, for the most part. Not written about things in future world events in the United States of America. That's not the original intent of Revelation. For example, look in Revelation 1. Further description is given. Revelation 1. Notice verse 3. The Scripture says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. Notice this, for the time is near. Friend, as we study Revelation, one of the things that so many apocalyptic fiction writers and even religious people leave out today is that God said the things written in here are going to happen near. It's not going to be a long time away. This was going to happen during their lifetime. Look in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 11. I want you to see a couple of other times this idea is used. Revelation 3 verse 11. Jesus said, behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Not only is the idea of the quickness with which it will happen given in the Word, but it could as well express time frame. And friends, this is going to be mentioned later, but make a note of it as well. when we talk about the coming of Jesus in the book of Revelation, Jesus is not talking about, Scripture is not talking about the second coming. He's talking about His coming, like unto that of the coming of God in Isaiah upon Babylon, the coming of God upon Rome to reap His vengeance on them, as Matthew 24 and other places illustrate. Now, one other passage, I want you to see from beginning to end, the things written in this book are going to happen shortly. Look in Revelation 22, I want you to direct your attention to verse 6. Scripture says, "Then He said to me, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show His servants things which must shortly take place." And so, as we read this book, let's read it with a view toward first century Christians. Too many people want to read it with a view toward us. We need to read it with our first century glasses on and see how these things happen for them and what the application is for us. I would suggest that pretty much all but chapters 21 and 22 happened historically during the time of first century Christians' life, during the Roman Empire, dealing with them, not with us. Now, third key that we want to deal with, not only was Revelation given in symbols, not only are these things going to happen shortly, John says, but Revelation was written with the specific purpose of comforting persecuted Christians. Imagine you're a Christian living in the city of Rome. And it looks like Rome and its government is going to win. Christians all around you are dying. Some are suffering in peril in prison. God, where are you? What's happening? Why is this going on? The book of Revelation is God's message of victory, and it is His message of comfort to persecuted Christians. By the way, is there anything in Scripture besides a persecuted Christian? Do Scripture speak of unpersecuted Christians? Such a creature is not found in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12 says, "All who desire to live godly shall suffer persecution." And so you see how this can be a very practical book. All of us are going to suffer. If the book of Revelation was originally written to tell Christians who are suffering to hang on, to receive comfort, then my friends, it's a very powerful message for us. Now, we're going to quickly look at some of these passages. Look in your Bible in Revelation 2 and 3, just for example. I want you to see how God writes to encourage persecuted Christians. Revelation 2, chapter 2, verse 9. "I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw you into prison that you may be tested. You'll have tribulation 10 days. Jesus says, be faithful in death, and I'll give you the crown of life." And so here some are going to be put in prison an indefinite period of time. Look at, for example, in Revelation 6, verse 9. The Bible says, "When the angel opened the fifth seal, he saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had." But you can know that throughout the book, it is about comforting persecuted Christians, telling them they will receive the victory. Now I'd like for us to enter into, I believe, what is some of the essential elements of the book of Revelation. In understanding this book, I believe the fourth key is that we must be able to identify the dragon and the two beasts. Imagine that you were watching a television show or a movie or a play and you'd never heard anything about it. And there's people up on the screen or people on the stage, and you have no clue why they're there or what they're doing or how they relate to the overall play. Well, you wouldn't get anything out of that. Friend, if we can't understand who these key figures are, little wonder is it then that we can't understand the message of Revelation. And so who is the dragon and who are the two beasts? Thank God that we find from Scripture very clearly who these are and what they are like. Look, for example, in Revelation chapter 12. I want you to see from the outset that the dragon is none other than Satan and the devil himself.